Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
You may be seated. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, choir. God bless you. Tonight is a special night. I believe you will be richly blessed. I'm so excited in my spirit, but before I delve into the business of the night, I'll just give a brief announcement. How many of you know we are about to move? How many of you know we are about to move? Are you excited about your departure? There's a way we move. There's a way we move. You know the Red Sea is about to part. The Red Sea is about to part. Come on! Hallelujah. You know, when you want to move, Pharaoh has to bow. Pharaoh. Because there is something about Egypt. There are spirit cities. And I'm excited tonight because one of the person coming to minister tonight is a master in the subject of spirit cities. Is a master. But you see, Pharaoh don't let people go until he sees power. And sometimes the power, the place must be complete before Pharaoh lets you go. And so, we are almost at the ninth plague before the tenth plague. Please be seated. I'm not surprised. We are just 1 year and see the things the Lord has done. You don't expect the devil to relax. And so, usually, the devil will come with opposition. The land we got, the design on the land, obviously is not what we want to build. And so we had to modify the design to suit our spec because of the pattern that was revealed to us. Because we build according to pattern. And the moment we tweaked the design a bit, Pharaoh started working. Pharaoh is a body. We started with the foundation. After settling issues with FCDA, they just woke up and said, this design, why did this happen and all of that? So we had a little delay, which we are finalizing. All the materials we need to set up structure is available just to take off. We were supposed to build the first auditorium in 2 weeks. We had everything under control until Pharaoh came. And so we are trusting God that we will soon take that out of the way and then we will advance. The second challenge we have was the fact that we wanted to build 2 structures on the land. And that also needed to be sorted out. So that's the reason for the little delay. But keep praying, keep partnering. Zion is moving. Hallelujah. I felt I should give you that update so you know what is going on. We trust the Lord that we should take that out of the way soonest and then begin, you know, the project from where it stopped. But in the situation where we don't meet up with it as planned, there's no cause for alarm. We'll have an interim arrangement that we'll brief you on before we perfect that phase of the work and then we finally get there. And so we give God praise. The reason I'm excited again tonight is the fact that the prophet that gave me the word that God will give you a land is here with us tonight. He just came into the city. You know, since we started, I've not really invited ministers, just my friends, brothers coming to bless us. And then he came into the city to have fellowship with us. I said, no, you will bless us. And while we were driving, he said, I just saw the Lord give you a land. And true to his word, the Lord gave us a land. There are many more, but I won't say that one tonight. I was telling him this afternoon, can we celebrate the lead apostle over the sphere of Light Church, Pastor Femi Lazarus? Is that how you celebrate a man that blessed you? He's my brother and friend. And the major news this morning is that the Lord decided to move him to Abuja. And so we have Sphere of Light Church in Abuja. You want to find me on Sunday morning, you can trace me to Sphere of Light Church. Praise God. He's a brother, a man of the spirit, a man of the word, a prophet, a teacher, and an apostle. And today happened to be the inaugural service. I finished from ministering at the baptizing church. I rushed to catch up, but it was over. I followed him to the house. And I said, next Sunday morning, I'll be there. And any Sunday I'm in Abuja, I'll be there. Praise God. And so, we celebrate him. Thank you so much, sir, for coming. The Lord bless you richly. I know what it takes to put an inauguration together. And you still took out time to come. Thank you so much. We love you. We appreciate you as a house. Can you please celebrate it? This evening, I'm not the one ministering. I think this is the first senior minister we are bringing here since the inaugural service. I was privileged to listen to one of his teachings on Abrahamization. And I was wowed. People listen to me and they say, which Bible are you reading? I also listened to him and I said, which scripture are you reading? What is going on here? Every word, every phrase, every sentence was rich in revelation. And the words were sweet like honey. I was so blessed and I looked forward for the opportunity of meeting the senior minister. And I went to Summit Bible Church for a conference just to be blessed. And there he was standing. I went to him and saluted him. We connected. And again, we met in Abeokuta for a meeting. After the ministration, I said, this is my opportunity. When we went to the hotel, I said, please pray for me. He said, will a pastor pray for an apostle? I said, this thing have ranks. They are stature. And from that day, it's been a fluid relationship. Very humble, meek servant of God. Seriously tampered with by the Holy Spirit and the world. And today we are privileged to have him in our midst. He is a teacher. He is a missionary. He is a prophet. And he is an apostle. He is the lead apostle over the baptizing church. Branches all across Nigeria and the world. He is currently based in Manchester United in the United Kingdom. I was supposed to be with him in December, but unfortunately I couldn't make the trip. And here we are. This weekend, I was at the baptizing church and I got to know that he will be around till tomorrow. I said, no. If you are around till tomorrow, then bless us. I was blessed as an individual. Now he will bless us as a house. He's here with the resident pastor, Pastor Tokwe Sharma, who is in charge of the baptizing church in Abuja. Encounter Jesus. Can we please receive in the spirit of honor God's servant?
Can you keep celebrating? He's a senior minister, a leader, a father, Pastor Dene Oshumakinde.
Hallelujah. Wow. Wow. I mean, this is the glory of God. Amen. Shall we lift up our hands and let's glorify Jesus this evening? Let's give him praise. He's the head of the church. He's the savior of the body. All things are made by him and for him. Whether they are visible, invisible, thrones and dominions, principalities and powers, he's before all things. In him all things consist. It has pleased the Father that all fullness should dwell in him. And of his fullness we have received grace for grace. For the Lord came through Moses, and grace and truth came through Jesus. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of your kingdom is a right scepter. For you have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore the Lord your God has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows. Let's worship him. Let's bless him. And blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Let's thank him for choosing us before the foundation of the world to be without blame in his sight. Let's thank him for sealing us with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession. Oh, we give you praise. Let's take a song as we get into the word this evening. Elohim Adonai. Can you lift up your hand?
Elohim Adonai.
Father, as we teach tonight, everyone is blessed, everyone is lifted, everyone is edified, everyone is strengthened, and everyone is encouraged through the teaching of the word and by the power of the Spirit. Thank you for the release of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, spreading through the many and causing thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God, to the praise and the glory of your name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Come on, give the Lord a big hand as you take your seat. Wow. It's good to be here. About 5 hours ago, I didn't know I would be here. So we finished our conference, just like Apostle Rocco said, and that was in the baptizing church here in Abuja. And as we got back to the office, I was just about to see him off. And he said, can you please come and minister? And of course, my default answer was no. I said, no, I don't think that wasn't part of my plan. And but at some point, I felt in my spirit that why not just pray about it instead of just saying and I'll try no. So I decided to pray. And as God will have it, he was ministering to someone in the office. And as he was ministering to the person, the Holy Spirit said, go for the meeting. And that's why we're here. Amen. Hallelujah. Maybe if I knew I was coming, I would have prayed. I would have fasted. I would have taken time to seek the face of God. I mean, awesome work. Let's appreciate God for what God is doing here. And to just hear that this is just about a year. I mean, this is awesome. So I want to salute the grace of God upon Apostle Rocco Michael. And I mean, thank you for who you are. My brother and I were still talking about you this afternoon. Coincidentally, he's ministering the church in the UK. He ministered this morning. So I was just telling him about the encounter I had with you and how humble you are in the scheme of things. And he was like, yes, Apostle Oropo. Just, and he said something. He said, he's a man of God. He's a man of God. And just to now know that about 5 years ago, I met the wife before the wife met him. So I came to minister in Abuja. And I saw this sister. And one of her friends invited her. She insisted that she wanted to see me after the meeting. And we saw, we prayed, we fellowshipped. And she managed to get my account number. So she sent me a seat. And so when I met Apostle on Friday, I said, your wife is Osenaga. I used to know one sister Osenaga. I met her in Abuja, but I'm not sure she's your wife. So when I saw her this morning, I said, are you the Osenaga that met me? Coincidentally, in the same church auditorium where Apostle ministered over the weekend, met her. We just want to celebrate both of you. I mean, sincerely, I just thank God for you. That's all I would just say. And God bless. Thank you for honoring us. And thank you for doing this for God. Thank you for doing this in Abuja. And God bless you. Let's appreciate them. Come on one more time. They may be seated. And it's also great to meet Apostle Femi Lazarus. I've never met him. But I'm a watcher in the body of Christ. I know what is going on. And somehow God has a way of just revealing those who are the cutting edge. And it might just be a 5-minute video. You're just minding your business. And I was telling Apostle Rocco, that was how I met him too. Minding my business. And I was just watching a meeting put together by Apostle Arome Osai. And I saw him. And I was like, who is this spirit? So the same thing about Apostle Femi Lazarus. One of those casual videos. And I'm like, who is this new spirit? And the name stuck. And a couple of videos here and there saw that he was doing an awesome work for God in Ibadan. And it's good to hear that he's now in Abuja. Amen. And I'm always excited when people come to Abuja, because we started ministry in Abuja too. And it's so great to be back in the city, to see that God is reconfiguring the spiritual climate of the city, and is bringing new people, is bringing new resources, and we thank God for that. So we celebrate Apostle Femi Lazarus. God bless you. And of course, Pastor Tope Shaba and some of our pastors that came, Pastor Biro, Pastor Ife, thank you very much for coming. Let's open our Bibles to Acts 7:2. The title of the teaching Apostle already gave us, Abrahamization of things. What does it mean to Abrahamize? I'll just teach for about an hour. I will trust God for the glory of God to fill the house. And please be sensitive. At any point in the course of this service, the hand of the Lord can come on you. Something can be activated. So be sensitive. Beyond the teaching of the word, there is also a strong move of the Spirit in this meeting tonight. Hallelujah. Then he said, men, brethren, and fathers, the God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran. Abraham is a framework in the realm of the spirit. And that framework is so serious. Please listen to this. This is very, very important. That for the first time in human history, God became the God of one man. God never called himself the God of Adam. God was never the God of Enoch. As important as Enoch was, God never said, I am the God of Abel. What was it about Abraham that the first time God would name himself after the name of a man, God called himself the God of Abraham? And not only did he do that, when the Lord Jesus Christ came, he also made us to understand that that is the name of God eternally. So that there's something about the stature Abraham manifested in the scheme of things that God was comfortable to say, look, for the first time in human history, I'm not going to just be a general God. I want to be a personal God to an individual. That means what God is communicating to you and I is that it is only on the faith lane God is your personal God. Outside of the faith lane, God is a general God. The God of Abraham. We can't just leave it there and say God of Abraham. But in Acts 7:2 here, Stephen, by the revelation of the Holy Spirit, began to describe for us what manner of God this God of Abraham is. And he called him the God of glory. That means whenever God wants to do something significant in your life, what God does is to introduce himself to you as the God of Abraham. As a matter of fact, if you read Matthew 1:17, which is our main text, let's quickly get into that, then we can teach. Look at your neighbor tonight, say, the God of Abraham. Now, come on, I can't feel you. The God of Abraham. Say it as if you mean it, the God of Abraham. Now, Matthew, not only did he become the God of Abraham, it will amaze you that a lot of people lived before Abraham. Have you ever wondered why the genealogy of Jesus Christ started from Abraham? As if Abraham was the first man that was made. Now, in Matthew 1, Matthew, as an accountant, began to give us a sense of how many people came before the Lord Jesus Christ, and of course, began to establish a pattern that every 14th generation, something was always happening. And to begin that explanation again, Matthew started from Abraham. Hallelujah. Please, can I have a festival? Something, please. Hallelujah. So I see why we need to move. Amen. The movement is a possibility in Jesus' name. So now, in verse 17, Matthew now summarized the entire genealogy. And look at the summary. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David until captivity in Babylon are 14 generations. And from captivity in Babylon until Christ are 14 generations. Let's digress a little. Because this is the beginning of a new year. And it is important in Abrahamization of things for you to understand that God is not an annual God. Yes, we move from 2022 to 2023, but that is not how God operates. God is a God of times and season, and a season in God can be 5 years. That means within the 5-year bracket, God will be emphasizing the same thing. It's not going to tell you anything new. He's going to begin to tell you something. Because what God is trying to pioneer is called a genealogy. Hallelujah. And that is the case here, that you see that every 14 generations, something was happening. And if you look at your life through the eye of the Spirit, you begin to see that everyone here, under the sound of my voice, there is a pattern to your life. And at times, people don't pay attention to the pattern. Because, you know, Matthew started by just saying, this one begat this one, that one begat that one begat that one. And you begin to wonder, who is begatting who? Is there any pattern here? Until Matthew got to verse number 17, and he now began to summarize. That actually, it's not a mistake that 14 generations after Abraham, David showed up. And that is why it is important that he was not sought God had in mind to become the first king of Israel. Because he wasn't the 14th man from Abraham. He was David. You could see that the people got right the season. Because a king will emerge 14 generations after Abraham. Because God was consolidating the seed of Christ that was in Abraham. And every 14th generation, somebody was showing up to extend the frontiers in the scheme of things. And you could see that significantly, David eminently qualified, you know, to be the next one that was going to add an additional layer to what God began in Abraham, which was kingship. Somebody say amen. Because Abraham never became a king. Abraham only slaughtered kings. Abraham defeated kings. But Abraham did not get to that point that one of the things God wanted to see in consolidating the seed of Christ is that somebody was going to come forth 14 generations after who will manifest kingship, who will be an ideal king, who will be a priest, who will be a prophet, who will write Psalms, who will add value to the seed of Christ, that by the time Christ will be born later, he will be called the Son of David. So therefore, as we begin this journey tonight, what I want you to look at is that, what are the established patterns you have seen in your life? For some of us here, if you look deep, and I pray that the Lord will open the eyes of your understanding, you will realize that every 5 years, God is doing something in your life. For some other people, it's every 10 years. Like Apostle Lazarus coming to Abuja now. I'm sure if Apostle Lazarus looks at the horizon, you begin to see that there are some patterns. Like someone like me now, every 5 years, God is always moving me to another city. So once I get into a city, because over the years I've seen that pattern, I know that significantly I'm just there for 5 years. Once it gets to the fourth year, around the fourth year, I started feeling this uneasiness in my spirit. Because until one day God sat me down and I began to explain Matthew 1:17, that was when I now looked at the last 30 years and I now began to see that, come to think of it, every 5 years, there's always a shift. And the beautiful thing about this is that once you understand the cyclical move of God, as far as your purpose, as far as your destiny is concerned, even if you miss a step, you can wait again. Because you know in another 3 years, there will be a repetition. The things of God are iterative, they are repetitive, and they are incremental in nature. Somebody say amen. So why did God start with Abraham? Matthew 1:17 is a summary of the entire dealings of God with every one of us in this room. That means if God is going to begin anything significant in your life, the first part of you God will activate is the seed of Abraham that is in you. That is why the moment you became born again, one of the things God did for you in Christ Jesus is to make you a seed of Abraham. So that means it is easier for you to Abrahamize than to do otherwise. Because by design and by default, you are a seed of Abraham. And what is a seed? A seed is a sequence of growth that reproduces after its own kind. So that means in scripture, your kind is Abraham. Hallelujah. So unbelief is not your kind. You are of faith. You are a faith being. Even if you are not doing anything, once you become born again, you become a faith being. Somebody say, I'm a faith being. Come on, I can hear you. Hallelujah. So, Abraham is the beginning. So at some point in your walk with God, God will begin to challenge the David that is in you. Because it's not just enough to be a man of faith. God is also looking for a man after God's heart. But have you noticed in that equation that after Abraham and after David, instead of finding another man 14 generations after David, place Babylon. Why Babylon? And 14 generations after Babylon, Christ. Let me explain that question to us. Your story must be compatible with the story of Abraham if indeed the seed of Christ in you is going to see daylight. That means the first individual God trusted to host the seed of Christ, to pioneer what is called the generation of Christ, was Abraham. And the second individual that God saw came into that same spiritual stature that God could also trust with the seed of Christ was David. But 14 generations after, God couldn't find anyone. So instead of God raising another individual, God took the seed to Babylon. Babylon is where you actually test whether you have Abrahamized, and to also check out the Davidic content that is in you. Because if you can survive Babylon, the next outlook is Christ. Is somebody there? So, you know, anybody can just say, I'm a seed of Abraham, like the Pharisees. And John had to warn them. He said, don't begin to say, we have Abraham as our father. It doesn't work that way. It's not a confession. It must be experimented. It must be tested. And the only way to test it is to take you to Babylon. Because it is in Babylon. You begin to now see that the seed of Christ is superior at least 10 times to the intelligence of Babylon. Hallelujah. And anywhere you are on earth today, where there is a socio-economic order, where there is a political order, is Babylon. As a matter of fact, in the book of Revelation, in the revelations of Jesus Christ, when Christ ultimately wanted to reveal who he was by himself to John on the Isle of Patmos, have you noticed that the entire essence of that book is how Zion defeated Babylon? As a matter of fact, one of the places where they shouted hallelujah for the Lord God omnipotent reigned was when Babylon fell. So in every generation, God is trusting that people who have Abrahamized, people who have understand that Davidic outlook, can combine incrementally the Abrahamic and the Davidic resource, defeat Babylon, so that Christ can manifest. Somebody say, I see it. Oh, come on, you are not saying it. Amen. So, having explained that, let's now stay with Abraham. Somebody say, Abrahamization of things. Genesis 12:1. What does it mean to Abrahamize? And again, as we begin to teach now, we're also trying to trace. Please, can you reduce the volume a little? Just a little. We're also trying to trace the manner of operation of the God of glory. Because if he was that God that appeared unto Abraham, that started the faith journey for Abraham, you now begin to see why scripture says, without faith it is impossible to please God. Genesis 12:1. How does the God of glory operate? Because if we were told he was the God of glory that appeared unto Abraham, so God became the God of Abraham, but that was not where the equation ended. The most important thing that happened in the life of Abraham wasn't that God became the God of Abraham, it was also that Abraham became the Abraham of the Most High God. Because once the God of Abraham and Abraham of the Most High God meet, somebody will possess heaven and earth. Hallelujah. Genesis 12:1. Now we know that this Lord is talking about now is the God of glory, right? Now the Lord has said to Abraham, what did he say to him? Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I'll show you. Look at me, everyone. What does it mean to Abrahamize? Oh, thank you, Lord. The only acceptable story of faith that pleased God is the story of Abraham. In Genesis, Abraham's faith was upheld as an example of an acceptable work of faith. You get into the book of Psalms, Abraham's faith. Even Isaiah in the book of Prophet, Isaiah said, those of you who are looking for righteousness, if that is what you are looking for, he said, there's no other way to get it. He said, look at Abraham, your father. You get into the Gospels, Abraham. You get into the Epistles, Galatians 3, Romans 4, Hebrews 11, Abraham. Even in the afterlife, for people like Lazarus not to go to heaven and be looking as if they are lost, they must also visit a place called Abraham's bosom. Because if Lazarus did not pass through Abraham's bosom, Lazarus will carry poverty mentality into heaven, and that is not allowed. So it must be Abrahamized even after death. Because, look, oh my. Where... Lazarus going to heaven directly, it's like taking a boy from the village who never saw an aeroplane and you want to fly him to New York. He will misbehave. Because he's not used to that dimension of glory. And God has said, anyone that missed Abrahamization on earth, let's create another system where in death or after death, they can still be Abrahamized. Because without being Abrahamized, you are not fit for heaven. You will... it will be a misfit. And for the rich man too, the story is that whether you send God or you don't send God on earth, at some point in your walk, either here or afterlife, you still have to deal with Abraham. You will not see that in the program of God. Abraham is the chairman. Imagine an arrogant rich man. The day he saw Abraham, he became humble. Because what one of the things Abrahamization does is to reset your value system. Here was a guy who did not care about his brothers. The moment he met Abraham, he did not want his brother to come to the same place he got to. Because once you Abraham, myself will die. And to show that there are also people who are not even Christians, but who are taking advantage of the intelligence that is domiciled in Abraham. One of such people was the centurion. You see, when Jesus told Peter that he was going to go to the Peter's mother's house, Peter was excited. Jesus went to the home of Peter and raised Peter's mother, and mother-in-law, I beg your pardon, and we know the story. But here was Jesus looking at an army officer, and he said, "Officer, I'm going to come to your house." Many of us, that would be a point of excitement, that Jesus is going to come to my house. But the guy looked at Jesus and said, "Excuse me, sir, I will change your itinerary for the first time in human history. You are not coming to my house." And he said, "Speak the word only." "For I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I said to this one, go, and he goes. I said to this one, come, and he comes. I said to my servant, do this, and he does it." That means he was telling Jesus, he said, "I might not understand all your Hebrew scripture, but there's something about the military. I know how authority functions. So the higher authority doesn't need to show up physically. In the kingdom, authority is verbally communicated. When he says go, he doesn't need to show up for me to go." And he said, "Jesus, what are we dealing with here? We're dealing with sickness. And I figure that you are a higher authority than sickness. So it does not matter. You don't need to physically be there for sickness to move. Because the authority gradient between you and sickness is too wide that it doesn't call for your physical presence. Speak." And Jesus was like, "Who said that?" And he said, "I have not found so great a faith in Israel." And you know the next thing the Lord did? He opened to us the back end of that story. He said, this is a classic example of Abrahamization. Many will come from the east, from the west, and from the south, and sit with Abraham. So for this guy to say this guy sat with Abraham. This guy became Abrahamized. As a matter of fact, this guy Abrahamized military formation. That means this guy also knew that even the military is functioning through Abrahamic intelligence. You see why, out of all the seeds in this world, when Christ was coming, he had to come as a seed of Abraham. Because it is only as a seed of Abraham you can optimize redemption. Hallelujah. How does it work? Look at Genesis 12. I don't know, did they put the scripture on the screen? Because I want us to look at that scripture. Excuse me. "Now the Lord had said to Abraham," are you ready now? So if the centurion that was not born again understood this, then your understanding is quickened. Your understanding is activated. You must understand better than the centurion. You must understand better than Lazarus. Look at what Abraham started telling them in debt. Abraham kept on emphasizing the integrity of the word of God. The rich man said, "Send somebody from here to go and warn my brothers." Abraham said, "No, it doesn't work that way. God has principles." And he said, they have Moses and the prophet. Let them listen to them. That was what Abraham was saying. Imagine that level of intelligence Abraham was communicating to a man who would never have an opportunity to communicate it to his brothers. So for those of us who are now in Christ, what do you think Abraham is communicating to you and I? Look at your neighbor again, say, "Neighbor, I'm Abrahamizing." I'm booting now. The Abraham in me is coming alive. I'm a seed of Abraham. You see, Apostle warned us when we started. Say this thing. Say, I'm a seed of Abraham. There's something it does to you when you say it. Say, I'm a seed of Abraham. You know the meaning of that? I said, a seed is a sequence of growth that is capable of reproducing after its own kind. That means what that is saying is that everything that happened to Abraham is what is happening to you today. That means you are the modern day Abraham. You are not the Abraham in Abuja. You are the modern version of Abraham. Your story is so Abrahamic that Abraham is already given to you as an expo. You know what they call expo? So that you can look at it and you're like, where am I in my Abrahamic story? Okay, this is where I am. And how much you can optimize redemption is how much the story of your life is compatible with the story of Abraham. So let's begin. Where does God start from? Now the Lord has said to Abraham, this is the God of glory, get out of your country. Apostle Lazarus, Apostle Oropo, distinguished ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ. For you to begin your Abrahamic journey, 99.9% of the time, God will not give you a fresh word. God will refer to what he already told you. Did you read that place? Now the Lord had said, he didn't say the Lord is saying. Genesis 12:1 was not where God spoke to Abraham. Genesis 12:1 was where Abraham responded to what God said. People don't fully Abrahamize if there is a word hanging over your life that you have not obeyed. The beginning of that journey is that somebody is stuck. And the reason why you are stuck in life is not because God is not powerful. It's not because God is not faithful. It's because 5 years ago, God spoke to you. But that word is still hanging in the air. And you are believing God for another word. Have you noticed? We were not told exactly how old Abraham was when God spoke to him. That means he wasn't 70. He was at 70. Abraham chose. And there's something about the God of glory. The God of glory is this type of God that he will wait patiently for you until you obey that word. Hallelujah. Because at times, we think God is a talkative. At times, we think God is always talking. God studied the story of Abraham until he obeyed this word. God did not say anything again. And how do you know there is a word that is very, very significant, that is Abrahamic great kind of word? It's always a get out word. That means there's something God must have spoken to you about to get out of. If you ask somebody like Apostle Femi Lazarus now, you will realize that it wasn't this year God said move to Abuja. It must have been something he's been incubating, he's been interacting with. And that's why I said we have to define the manner of approach of the God of glory. And one of the ways you know the manner of approach of the God of glory is to look at the first miracle of Jesus. Because in the first miracle of turning water into wine, the Bible says the whole essence of that miracle was to manifest his glory. So that means if glory is going to manifest, there's a stepwise approach. And the stepwise approach, this is how it works. Fill this water pot with water. If you don't fill it, it won't say draw. The God of glory. So that means in sequencing of the intelligence of God at glory level, everything is stepwise. Step one. And if you don't carry out step one, you can't move to step two. I mean, if you look at that story very well, what was actually the step one? When the mother came to him and said, they don't have wine. And he said, woman, what do I have to do with you? My hour has not come. You see, the woman, the mother, understood that Christ was not speaking English. He was speaking spirit. Because in English, my hour has not come is that everybody relax, nothing is going to happen. But in spirit, my hour has not come means he has not given an instruction. So the moment he said, my hour has not come, what did the mother do? The mother went to tell the servant. When he says, my hour has not come, it's because he has not given a command. Because we are dealing with glory here. So the mother warned them. He said, whatever he tells you to do, do. Because it is important for us to appreciate the manner of God we are dealing with on the faith lane. It's called the God of glory. And as if Jesus knew the mother was accurate, he just stood up and he said, guys, imagine the mother did not want them. Because the water pot was the water pot they were using for purification. You don't understand that. Somebody will use that water, wash his face. Somebody will wash his armpit. Somebody will wash his leg. And Jesus did not say, get clean water. He said, fill this water pot with water. So folks, it's not that God is not faithful. It's just that there is a word hanging over your life. And one of the reasons for this meeting tonight, so that you can begin your Abrahamic journey, is to find out what word is hanging that you have not obeyed. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, what did God say to you that is still hanging? So that means on the faith lane to Abrahamize, you have to obey God immediately and you have to obey God exactly. Look at your neighbor. Say, it's called obey God immediately. Obey God exactly. Or else, it will look as if somebody just pressed pause. And that pause is waiting for the day like Abraham that your Genesis 12 is activated. Where you now say, what am I doing here? Because God spoke to Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran. He was in Haran. Abraham obeyed God, not in Mesopotamia. That it can be so serious that the reason why somebody is even in Abuja tonight is because there is a word you have not obeyed. That if you have obeyed that word, possibly you should not be in Abuja. God on the faith lane doesn't joke with his word. And I've described the strength of that word. It's always a get out word. Ask your neighbor again. Say, what is God asking you to get out of? And you know, Apostle Lazarus, Apostle Oropo, our Lady of Apostles, our prayers are very long. Because the bulk of our prayer point is trying to show God a land so that God can endorse it for us. But on the faith lane, God is saying, you don't have what it takes to show me a land. It must be a land that I'll show you. You can't show God the land. Say, unto a land that I will show you. Look at your neighbor again. The sister in black, you know, I don't know you from anywhere, but the Lord is visiting you tonight. And that the hand of the Lord is upon you, and he's saying this very word is for you. And that he's doing a work in your life, and that is why he's causing you to hear this word at the level that you are hearing it tonight. Please take it to the word of God. It's very, very important. Unto a land that I will show you. Stop trying to show God the land. You don't have capacity in the spirit to show God the land, and God will not endorse the land you are showing him. He must be the one showing you the land. So again, I'm emphasizing it, even if that is the only thing we learn tonight. Don't try to outsmart God, and don't try to be too smart for yourself. If there is a word you have not obeyed, you go back to it. And the beautiful thing about the God of glory is that his word doesn't expire. Even if it was given 5 years ago, and 5 years after you go back to where you left it, just like Abraham did in Genesis 12. Because if you read the ending point of Genesis 11, you'll see where the interaction started. And you go back. And it's as if the word of God is always excited when people come back. And you're like, are you ready now to begin the journey? Let us begin the journey. That is what it means to Abrahamize. That means you are responding to the seed of Abraham in you. Because that seed of Abraham in you will begin to tell you, hey, you can't miss out in this stepwise approach. in this incremental approach, in this iterative approach when it comes to the word of God. Somebody say, in the name of Jesus, I will take you to the word of God. For the Lord has said, 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 so that the Lord will say. Are you there? The Lord has said, so that the Lord will say. Have you noticed the moment Abraham stepped into the land, God started speaking again? So at times, just like we were saying in church today, delays, and some of those things people pray about may not necessarily be demonic interferences. At times it's just that you have disobeyed. I mean, there is a word that is waiting there, and that word is excited because of the possibilities inherent in that word, and that word is waiting for you to come and line up with it, to say to you that, Lord, I come in a volume of book, it is written of me to do your will. Somebody say amen. Number two, once you begin to obey the word of God, this is very, very important, God inaugurates what is called a faith walk for you. What does it mean for God to inaugurate a faith walk for you? Once you obey the word of God, it will now become obvious that there are needs in your life. That means there will be one area of your life where everybody, even those who don't know God, are finding it easy to break through. But because you're on the faith lane now, that particular area, you will begin to struggle. Look at Abraham. Everybody around Abraham, everybody around Sarah, it was so easy for them to have a son. It was so easy for them to have children. So what is it about the man of faith that now that you're on the faith lane, why can't you produce a son? Why can't you produce a child? Now listen to this. That is why God used Abraham to model faith for us, so that we can understand how faith works. So that you see that faith is not a formula. Faith is a lifestyle. So what happened? The reason why, it does not matter how good you are, there's still one area of your life where something is missing. It's because that is the only way God can communicate to you his own needs. God will establish needs in your life so that he gives you an opportunity to intersect your need with his need. You want to father a son? And God called Abraham. God said, Abraham, on the faith lane, there's also something that I do. Apart from compelling people to obey the last word, to obey the last order, once they obey, one of the significant things that I do is to tell them who exactly they are. And by the time God communicates to you who you are, he's always bigger than what you are believing him for. You want to father a son? God said, Abraham, the reason why I'm making this call, the reason why I'm giving you the word, just like the sister I spoke to, is because I have made you a father of many nations. How can you compare the father of Isaac to the father of many nations? One son. Do you know how many sons will make up one nation? And yet, do you know how many sons will now make up many nations? So God said, I didn't just make you the father of a nation. I made you the father of many nations. Because this is how God works on the faith lane. It is only the father of many nations that can father Isaac. That means what God is doing on the faith lane is capacity building. The waiting period of faith is not a period of waiting for the promise to be fulfilled. It's a period of waiting to build capacity to be bigger than the promise, so that you can handle the promise. Is somebody there? Because if you don't become the father of nations, the day Isaac comes and God asks you to take Isaac to Moriah, you can't. Because you'll be so much attached to Isaac, you will never see nations. So what did God do? God said, Abraham, why you are believing me for a son? Look at all these nations. They don't have fathers. They are fatherless. Can you come and father them for me? And I will now begin to show your seed how I answer prayers. So Abraham decided to assume that status. So how do you know you have progressed from just believing God to father Isaac to fathering nations? That means God has a way of distracting you. Has God ever distracted you so that you are not focusing on your need, but you are focusing on what is important to God? And what is important to God swallows what you think is important. So a day now came. God wanted to go and destroy one of the nations Abraham fathered. That nation is called Sodom. And look at the beautiful thing about God. Out of every way to go to Sodom, God only chose one path. Hey, once you become a man of faith, the pathway to your house is an important address in the spirit. Because there are, you see, we're talking about God, for crying out loud. Apostle Oropo, does God need to leave his throne to destroy Sodom? In fact, he didn't even need to say it. He should just think it. Within seconds, Sodom will become history. And by the time he's saying it, it's too much. Instead of God saying it or thinking it, God decided to come down. And out of all the ways to get to Sodom, God decided to pass in front of the home of Abraham. And God made sure they took light that day, so it was hot. I would say it was in the heat of the day. Abraham was fanning himself, so he had to. So at times it's good for them to take light so that the Abraham in you can be activated. Because at times you are supposed to be owners of real estate, but you are living in one room. So that pain of sweating should remind you that there is a word hanging somewhere that you are disobeying. On the faith lane, the greatest manifestation of God is a man. When God wanted to manifest to Abraham, God did not come as God. Three men appeared. And because he was God, you see, there's something about God. You have to seek him. If God is coming for you, he won't just come for you. That would be ungodly. Because he's God, he must give you an opportunity to reach out. So God saw that Abraham was there, and God acted as if he was going. Even though he was coming for Abraham, he saw Abraham. But because there is something about being godly. Being godly will mean a man must seek God. So he saw Abraham. He was just going. Until Abraham said, my Lord, can I provide water? From water, he became suya. From suya to wine. And I'm sure God, when he was leaving heaven that day, already told Michael and Gabriel, said, by 12 noon, Sodom will be history. So Michael looked at the time. He looked at Sodom. Ah! He called Gabriel. He said, did the boss not say Sodom will be history by 12? Sodom is still standing. And Gabriel took the phone. He said, where are you, boss? He said, boss is eating. Eating? God that came down with the fury of a judge to go destroy a nation. A man of faith said, you will eat. You don't understand the audacity of faith. There is something on the faith lane that can change the itinerary of God. The centurion demonstrated it. Now Abraham is demonstrating it now to show you that the centurion actually is fat with Abraham. Apostle Lazarus, imagine you left home to go destroy, and suddenly suya. Is that Capel? God said, serve it. And God was drinking. God was having a great time. And the people in Sodom did not even know anything was at stake. Because there was God who was going to destroy Sodom, now having a nice time. Look at me, everyone. Sister Osenaga, Apostle Rogbo, is amazing. That it was in that visit where Abraham played the role of the father of many nations, God sorted the Isaac issue. While God was eating, as Abraham was hosting him in his capacity as the father of many nations, he was in that visit, God now said, where is Sarah? Without Abraham again asking for Isaac. And God said, now that you have played the role of the father of nations, I will return by this time next year, according to the time of life. And Sarah will have a son. Ha! And Sarah laughed. See, that there are seasons in God that even your unbelief cannot change the eternal counsels of God again. Because when Sarah laughed, God said, you laughed. And in the presence of God, you don't understand, Sarah lied in the presence. It wasn't that God was in heaven and a man was lying on that. God was standing in front of a woman and said, you laughed. He said, I did not laugh. But Sarah did not understand that God was upholding her confession. God said, you laughed. The day Sarah now got what God was doing was the day Sarah gave back to Isaac. Sarah now said, God has made me to laugh. And all who hear shall laugh with me. Oh, there's somebody here tonight. I'd like you to laugh. Because that laughter is the beginning of your breakthrough. Come on, laugh. Come on, sing. Come on, shout. Hey, something is happening already tonight. He said, sing, O barren, and break forth into singing. You have not brought forth. For more are the children of the desolate than that of a married woman. You know why she laughed? Isaac means laughter. The moment Sarah laughs, Sarah conceived. You see why God now says, sing, O barren. That means in the realm of the spirit, the antidote to barrenness is singing. Oh, somebody sing tonight. Come on, it does not matter what level of barrenness you are experiencing. I want you to sing. I want you to laugh. I want you to shout. Amen. Be seated. Thank you. So at times, instead of praying, become what God has made you. That means to become the father of nations. What it means literally is, apart from your faith work, God will give you a faith project. There will be a sector that you think is of no concern to you, God will ask you to start handling. Somebody can be believing God for rent now, and God can start saying, make sure you are the one cleaning this place every Sunday. And in your mind, you are like, what is the correlation between cleaning and rent? And the Lord is saying, remember you are a seed of Abraham. So you too also ask Abraham, what is the correlation between praying for Sodom and Isaac? And it was in that point Abraham rose and began to say, you are the judge of the whole earth, you do right. Supposing you find 50 righteous people there, will you destroy it? 40, 30, and so on. So God did not destroy Sodom because of what he found in Sodom. God destroyed Sodom because of what he did not find in Sodom. He couldn't find 10 righteous people. Hallelujah. It was what he didn't find. Just the same way Adam died. Not because of what he ate. It was but because of what he could not eat. Because if he was able to hit the tree of life. So it wasn't what he ate that killed him. It was what he was prevented from eating. That is now made available to you and I in Christ. Hallelujah. Because understanding is the tree of life. So that sister that the Lord speaks to start cleaning this place. The day you start cleaning this place, you became the father of many nations. And it will amaze you that it is one day that you are cleaning, intelligence will come about how that rent will be paid. Let us understand the pathways of God. That means if you are asking God for the same thing over and over again, and it's yet to come, it's because you are getting it wrong. That season when you are asking God for it, you ask God, what have you made me? The moment there's an intersection between your need and the need of God. Let me take that deeper so that you know that it's a serious matter. And this is prophetic. This is the word of the Lord, a current word for someone in the house here. Maybe by default for everybody. At times, one of the ways to manifest the fatherhood of many nations is a change of career. So one day, God came to Abraham and God said, Abraham, being a farmer alone is not sufficient for this season. Because you are about to enter into a season that is called the season of the war of kings. Go and acquire military training. Abraham acquired military training. And God said, not only must you acquire it, you have to train others. Because you cannot give what you don't have. You begin to think, how did Abraham the farmer, how did he become a field marshal that he was able to defeat five kings? This is the season in which on the faith lane, God will begin to challenge you. You might be a PhD holder. God can start telling you to start learning how to sow. Don't let it look as if God is demoting you. Understand that it happened to Abraham. Because at some point, Abraham acquired all this training. And you know what? Because he was now the father of many nations. Apostle Lazarus, Apostle Rock, but you don't have a son of your own. And you are training 318 sons of other people. What kind of faith is this? Do you know what it means to be feeding 318 people in a day? When I was serving in Calabar as a cop, I served in Nigeria Christian Corpus Fellowship. In the family house, we were just about maybe 100. And to feed 100 people every day, especially 100 brethren. How many of you lived in family house? I mean, you understand what I mean? Imagine Abraham, Sarah. They are feeding 318 people, and you look at the 318, none of them biological sons. You do not have your own biological son, and you are investing in the lives of 318 other people that you took off the street, and you are consolidating them and building them into an army. Is there something you are handing for God that is distracting you from your prayer point? Until that happens, you are not on the faith lane. Once you get on the faith lane, God will distract you in righteousness by making you to do. That means as far as God was concerned, the destinies of those 318 people is equally important to God like the destiny of Isaac. Let's try and calculate it today, how much Abraham was spending a day for food budget. And they're like, who is that one? Abraham said, I don't know. Who is that one? I don't know. God just told me to start sorting them out. So let me help us to break it down. What is it that you are sorting out on the earth for God, apart from what you are praying to God for? If you are not sorting out all that things you have not prayed for, that it was God that revealed it to you to start sorting it out, you have not started your Abrahamic journey. There will be something you are sorting out. And in a natural way of looking at things, there's no correlation between that thing and what you are believing God for. But in the realm of the spirit, there's an intersection. One day, Apostle Lazarus in our made sense. Somebody just came out of the camp and somebody said, Lot has been captured. Ah, Abraham knew that was a signal. May you find the signal this week. Because on the faith lane, God does not verbalize every communication. At times, something changes in the polity. It's a signal. Because as Abraham was training those guys, they were training every day. It didn't make sense. How can you be training an army and they were not fighting? Until one day, the opportunity to fight came. So you might be part of this ministry. You don't even know why you have been coming for the last 1 year. But you see, I'm now here to tell you that opportunity is about to come in this month of February. The opportunity to demonstrate that you came here. Look at how Abraham mobilized his forces. Abraham alone with his army defeated 5 kings with their armies. That means Abraham was a military strategist. Before the ending of the year 2023, what is it that you did not know anything about? But by November this year, you are an expert. People say there is poverty in Nigeria. Where is the poverty? What is here is that the blessing of Abraham. And that blessing of Abraham, according to Galatians 3:13, is the ability to hear the summons of the Spirit on the faith lane. He said, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Verse 14, that the blessing. Look at it. It didn't say blessings. Blessing. It's just one. That was why when Abraham gave it to Isaac, he could not give it to Ishmael. Blessing. When Isaac gave it to Jacob, you would think Isaac was wicked. Esau was begging. Esau said, bless me also. And the father said, I can't. Because your brother has got it. Because it's just one blessing. And Jacob summoned all his children. He gave it to Joseph. He gave part of it to Judah. And he said, the scepter shall not depart from Judah. Nor a lawgiver between his feet until Shiloh comes. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. But you know, the beautiful thing is that you are now in Christ Jesus. We've been given that same blessing again. And if you look at it, he said that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. The next verse now explains what that blessing is. That we, through faith, might receive what? The promise of the Spirit. So the ability to integrate the leading of the Spirit on the faith lane is the blessing of Abraham. That means once a believer is a man of faith, and at the same time is a man of the Spirit, Abraham's blessing is activated. Abraham's blessing rests on that individual. And that is why it is important by the Spirit, as we stay on the faith lane, to know what to do, especially with change of career. Because God is going to challenge many, many of us to start learning a trade. And that was not what you were training in the university for, but that is what the season is giving to you as an opportunity to be blessed. Now, that brings us to another very serious matter as I begin to wrap this up now. And that is, if you are going to fully Abrahamize, God will challenge your love walk. Because faith only works by love. Apostle Rockbo, if ever there was anyone Abraham should not help, it was Lot. Are you ready? In the year 2023, God will challenge you to help those who don't deserve it. And guess what? Let me tell you up front, they will not thank you. So if your mindset is that you are speaking philosophy and all you are saying is, well, I only help those who appreciate it. You know, nowadays I'm a tough guy. If people don't say no, I cut them off. You are not ready for this level. Because this level, you will see that Lot, after Abraham rescued him, there was no record anywhere that Lot ever thanked Abraham. There is a lot to talk about Lot. The first time he walked out on Abraham. So get ready in 2023 when God is asking you to help those who don't send you and who will not send you. And God is saying, help him. Because it's not about them. It wasn't about Lot, it was about Melchizedek. Oh, you are not getting it now. It was about Melchizedek. God made Abraham to rescue Lot so that Abraham can meet Melchizedek. So when you are helping people, understand divine protocol, that it's not about them. It's about the fact that there are ancient functionaries trying to come into your genealogy of faith to infuse things that no mortal can give you. Look at the functionary Abraham's faith provoked. Where did this man come from? The Bible says without father. without mother. And what made Abraham to get to meet Melchizedek? Because you don't meet Melchizedek empty-handed. By the time you are meeting Melchizedek, you must be able to tithe. I expected that quietness. So as Abraham was defeating those kings, God was giving him resources. In the year 2023, there are hidden resources everywhere. But the grace of God, may you trained. May you be trained, Abel Paddy. May you get into training. May you be able to build capacity to be able to defeat kings. May the resources of those kings be transferred to you. So when you're talking about wealth transfer, Abraham just demonstrated wealth transfer there. It's not wishful thinking. At times, just a change of career can be the basis of wealth transfer for the believer. Be sensitive. You see this, the brother in suit there? Can you wave your hand? No. The one? Yes, you. No. The one in brown suit. Yes. Please be sensitive to this word. Be sensitive to this word. Because you see, this year 2023 is a year God is beaming his glory on you. But he's saying he's going to come via instruction. That I'm going to ask you to take certain steps. And as I'm ministering to you tonight, that grace for obedience, that Abrahamic dimension has been activated in you. And it's now easy for you to be Abrahamic than to be otherwise. That is what it means to be a seed of Abraham. That means it is easier for you to repeat everything Abraham did again than to repeat any other thing. It's easier. Hallelujah. So as he was coming on this side, Melchizedek was waiting on this side. Because the God of Abraham is about to infuse something into Abraham so that Abraham can now become the Abraham of God. When that cycle of God of Abraham and Abraham becoming the Abraham of God, when there's a meet somewhere, endless possibilities happen on earth. I want you to just wave your hand and pray in the spirit as we're getting ready to close now. Zebro Kotoba Baba Mama Katida Prikideba Makada Prokotina Mama Sida Prikideba. In Jesus' name. You know why God is so particular about all this? Because whatever God is giving to you on the faith lane is not just for you, it's for you and your descendants. When God is challenging you to walk by faith, it's because you have descendants. Hallelujah. So let's quickly deal with this. So Melchizedek was waiting for Abraham. You know the only thing, listen to this, oh, please. Because like I was telling them yesterday, once something is doctrine great, you can't argue it. It's not subject to emotion. It's not subject because it's not doctrine. That was where God inaugurated the doctrine of tithing. Number one, it was never demanded. Abraham did not give to Melchizedek first. It was Melchizedek that gave to Abraham first. The Bible says Melchizedek brought forth bread and wine. He was the priest of the Most High God. More or less saying like he's the vicar of Christ. Because up until now, the God Abraham was interacting with was the God of glory, was the El Shaddai. Now, Melchizedek was now about to bring another dimension of God that is called the Most High. That means El Elyon. So Melchizedek looked at Abraham and said, I am the priest of the Most High God, and I want to show you a dimension that you are not even familiar with, and that is the king is the priest, and the priest is the king. That means the king that you are looking at is also a priest. And he looked at Abraham, he said, if you are going to possess heaven and earth, you cannot just afford to be a king. It's not going to get the job done. You cannot just afford to be a priest. It's not going to get the job done. You must infuse kingship and priesthood in a delicate balance. And once that is done on the earth, on the faith lane, which is why God is challenging you to walk in love, you hit another Goshen in the spirit. And Melchizedek blessed him. And how did Abraham respond? So when they were like, we are seeds of Abraham, Jesus said, no, it doesn't work that way. If you are a son of Abraham, do the works of Abraham. Because Christ was a priest. This is the doctrine side of it. After the order of Melchizedek. When he was going to hand here too, how did he hand? Bread and wine. If Melchizedek gave Abraham bread and wine, how did Abraham respond? So if Christ is offering bread and wine, how are we supposed to respond? That was why Hebrews 7 was written. That he lives today to receive tithe. So tithe is not subject to debate. The one people are fighting and faulting is the one in Malachi and Leviticus. That has got nothing to do with the one on the faith lane. The one on the faith lane is the natural response of a seed of Abraham once they receive bread and wine. The question is this: is this ministry offering you bread and wine? So how are you supposed to respond? Because don't forget the height Melchizedek represents. If tithe was wrong, trust me, Melchizedek would have been the first person to say no. Because he was the priest of the Most High God. And he doesn't belong to this age. You don't understand. He came from an ancient civilization that predated Adam. And when he showed up, he said, Abraham, you are correct. This is the way to go. And by the time the real Christ is going to come, he's still going to repeat the same feat again. We offer people bread and wine. But because tithe is never demanded, it won't demand also. It is your natural response as a seed of Abraham to pattern your life in the steps of the faith of the original Abraham, to re-Abrahamize and to make sure that your finances is Abrahamized. And finally, after laboring and waiting, Abraham became a warrior. Abraham became a giver. Abraham became a tither. Abraham became a worshiper. Abraham became an intercessor. Abraham became an altar builder. That means on the faith lane, there is no room for passivity. You are just moving from dimension to dimension. Look at all that Abraham became before he fathered Isaac. That is the meaning of waiting. Because if actually you are waiting, you pass into power. Those that wait upon the Lord, they don't backslide. They renew their strength. So if you say you are waiting and you are backsliding, that is not waiting on the faith lane. That is social waiting. Spiritual waiting, you build capacity. So that by the time Isaac will come, you can handle it. And how do you know you can handle it, which is now the final frontier? To now show that once you signed up to Abrahamize, if you do otherwise, the best you can get is Ishmael. It can never be Isaac. You know the meaning of Ishmael? Ishmael is to start on the faith lane and to now begin to look on the side for bailout. The moment after hearing a word like this, you go out again not to obey God exactly and immediately, you activate the possibility that is called Ishmael. And how, what does that possibility do? It begins to mock Isaac. And a lot of people don't know that they are batting Ishmael. They were once on the faith lane. Now they're on social media abusing Mike Oroko, abusing Femi Lazarus, abusing everybody because Ishmael is kicking in. Ishmael is always mocking Isaac. But what is the verdict? The bondman, woman, and her son cannot be here with Isaac. You have to cast it out. An apostle, finally, to show that Ishmael can never make it to Moriah. The whole essence of every blessing God has given to you is that God is about to introduce the Moriah factor. And when God is ready to Moriahize your blessing. He will look at you. Ishmael was alive. You know what God said to Abraham? Take your son. Your only son. Excuse me, sir. How can you say your only son? This man has two sons. But God said, your only son. That means on the faith lane, it is only what you bat by faith God recognizes. To bat it otherwise, it will amaze you a lot of ministry. People will line up before God and they will say, we did ministry. And God will say, which one? Do you know the excitement when Abraham gave back to Ishmael? As far as Abraham was concerned, this is my son. And I'm sure God was laughing. God said, on the faith lane, I'm exact. I've already told you the one that will be born by faith will come from the womb of Sarah. That means, that means Abraham was not impotent. But the reason why any seed cannot suffice as Isaac is because the seed that must be Isaac must be Christ great. And for it to be Christ great, faith must be part of the equation. It can't just be biology. Because if it's just biology, Abraham was firing on all cylinders, just testing with Hagar. You will know that the guy was firing. Bomb went into Hagar, Ishmael came out. But God said, your only son. And I'm sure people are like, they want to remind God. They say, excuse me, sir. He has two sons. God said, no. According to our record here, he has only one son. And God now said, namely Isaac. And take him to Moriah, to one of the mountains that I'll show you. Look at me now, please. Don't miss me here. This is where I want you to drop your note. And I want you to open your spirit. Because I'm about to close in 5 minutes now. The moment God placed a demand on Isaac, Abraham got the equation. Anything God has blessed you with, God will still demand for it. This is where God will now see whether you are a seed of Abraham or not. You think God granted you a job, and blessed be God, you came to share the testimony here, and there's nothing wrong with that. But have it at the back of your mind that one day God will place a demand on that job. You know why Isaac must be taken to Moriah? Because we came here, and there's nothing wrong with that, because there must be natural coefficient of a spiritual blessing. When God said, Abraham and your seed, it was years later, Apostle Paul made us understand that that seed was not Isaac, that the seed was Christ. To Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say of seeds as of many, but of seed. And so he said, that seed is Christ. So that means when God gave you a new job, a new contract, he actually gave it to Christ. And God knows Christ will obey. So because God of glory started, he must also end in glory. So Christ in you is now the hope of that glory. And that is why when God gives you a breakthrough, it's not really you he gave you to, it's Christ. So how can the Father now ask Christ to bring the breakthrough and lay it on the altar, and Christ is arguing with God? Christ is saying, if I lose this job, I won't be able to pay my rent. So that means God is saying, in order for us to be sure that Isaac is the seed, we must give Isaac an opportunity to act out the story of Christ. And the story we are choosing for Isaac to act out is resurrection. That means Isaac must be plugged in the story of resurrection. And the moment Abraham obeyed, the story of redemption was playing out before our eyes. That a man will take his only begotten son and go sacrifice him. And God is now saying, the reason why I'm placing a demand on you to act by faith is to give you an opportunity to integrate your blessing into the flow of Christ. Or else that blessing will be a standalone construct, and it will be easy for the enemy to attack it. Do you think when Isaac came back from Moriah, any devil could look at the face of Isaac again. Because out, the guy is now Christ. Oh, you don't understand. The guy rose from the dead. But say Abraham received him in a figure. Abraham received him as though he rose from the dead. And that was the day God was committed to Christ. God said, a man cannot beat me at it. A man is now sacrificing his only begotten son. So I must sacrifice mine. Because this man is acting out the story of redemption. That a man will take the most precious thing, his only begotten son, and sacrifice him. Apostle Lazarus, Apostle Rogbo, brothers and sisters in Christ, you call it sacrificing Isaac. Do you know what Abraham called the whole thing? Worship. Abraham said, the Lord and I will go yonder and worship. Because when we worship, he's not going to die. We will return. So worship is not slow song. When Abraham worshipped, there was no keyboard. When Abraham worshipped, there was no choir. What did Abraham call worship? When you take your Isaac to Moriah. Abraham said that is worship. So worship is a lifestyle. And there's no worship without sacrifice. So when we say we have come here to worship, what are we saying? We are saying we have come here to put our Isaac on the altar. That means every one of us will come before God with our Isaac in our pocket, knowing fully well that he can place a demand of it and he doesn't have to give us notice. And the moment we fail to put the Isaac on the altar, what we are saying is that the story of resurrection is fake. That means we are denying and we are saying it cannot happen again. That means we are saying God cannot raise the dead. Because at times that is exactly what God wants to do. Because when they were praying for Jesus to come and heal Lazarus, he refused to come. Because in the agenda of God, the power that was made available was not to heal the sick, it was to raise the dead. So Jesus had to find a way for him to die. Because on the agenda, it was not healing the sick, it was raising the dead. So the guy must die. And look at me, everyone. It was that Abraham was worshiping. Another dimension of God was activated. It's called Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh is not the name of God. It's the name of a place. The Bible does not say Abraham called the name of God Jehovah Jireh. The Bible says Abraham called the name of the place. So it's a place in God. What is that place as we rise up, everyone? Let's rise up. Let me just define that place and we'll begin to pray. Oh. Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah. Some people call it Jehovah Jireh. Some people call it Jehovah Jireh. It doesn't matter how you call it. It's a place. What is that place? On this side, look at that place. Abraham was bringing Isaac. On the other side, God already positioned a ram caught in the ticket. That means God is saying, when I ask you to bring Isaac, it's not because I'm using Isaac. I just want to test your heart. Ever before you get to Moriah, the sacrifice is waiting. So Isaac is not the sacrifice. Isaac is a test of obedience. Because that one day, a man will outgive God. It will never happen. So as Abraham was coming up on this side, don't forget, for Abraham to get to that place, it took him 3 days' journey. So the question is this: where did that ram come from? If for a human being with his senses intact, it took him 3 days to make a journey to Moriah. So question, where did the ram come from? And that ram was there trying to break, something just held it there. In 2023, there are blessings held for you. And when God says take a step of faith, it's because that is the only way you can locate that blessing. Because the blessing will not come to you. You will go to it. There are blessings that pursue you. There are blessings that you go for. They are not pursuing you. They are positioned for you. And you must find your way to where they are. That is why in 2023, geography is important. Don't be sentimental about where to live, where to stay, where to work. They must be defined by the Holy Spirit. You know what Abraham called the name of the place? He said, at the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. That means it's there, but it's not seen. But as we climb the mount of the Lord, what happens? It shall be seen. So what is the name of that place? That is where your obedience unlocks the provision of God. What did I say? Your what? Obedience. What does it do? Unlocks what? Because the ram was locked, caught in the ticket. What is waiting for that ram to be unlocked was a man that obeys. So God has provided. On the fake land, God is not going to provide. God has provided. However, how does God get you from just handling Isaac to handling the ram? God will place a demand on the Isaac. And every time God places a demand on the Isaac, you heard a person talking about the land. He's a man of the spirit. I don't think possibly some of us are waiting for him to say, you need to give towards it. By just saying, we are moving. He has already said that. And people who are very sensitive in the spirit, they've caught it. They've caught their portion in the whole project. They are not even waiting for a time to say, this is how much we need. That would be too much. Don't forget, Melchizedek just offered bread and wine. Abraham knew what to do. So look at you now. You have needs. Things are happening. But can you also look around and see that God has provided? And that is the name of Jehovah Jireh. So I want you to lift up your hand and begin to worship. Now that we know what worship is. Worship can be expressed in songs, but it's deeper than songs. I bring you more than a song, for a song in itself. Within, through the way things appear, I'm coming back, everyone. Well, it's all about you. It's all about you. Amen. Before we pray in the spirit for 2 minutes. Before we pray for 2 minutes. I've given you about 7 boxes to tick. Look at your life now. How many of those things we have described tonight in the story of Abraham is in your life tonight? Now you can say, yes, I've obeyed the last word. Yes, I'm now fathering a nation. Yes, I'm beginning to understand my Moriah. Yes, I now know the purpose of my Isaac. Yes, I'm now walking in love because somebody that is annoying me, that needs my help, must be helped this week. Yes, look, there's a principle that is called all or none. When it comes to Abrahamization, 7/8 is not good. It has to be 8/8. Because the one you let leave out can be the most important one. You can't afford to leave anyone out. So tonight, let's receive grace as we pray in the spirit for 2 minutes. And that is my last assignment tonight. 2 minutes. 2 minutes to give every one of us. I want you to lift up your voices and pray like you have never prayed before. Ezekiel Mokobola Bragadina Mama Izabalila Prutona Nazobraba. Ekele prakato sobrabali, ezeka bakabala prakato masobre, ezeka makobalaba.
Give you praise. We give you glory. Somebody's life just changed. The Lord just shifted someone. God just shifted someone. Ah! You know, the teaching ministry is too vital. These are the things you hear that makes you grow. How we need teachers in the body of Christ. As they are talking, you just know what to do. You know where you are. And you know what to do to live where you are. Your life is just moving on the cruise boat. Dear Lord, lift your hands. Somebody needs to surrender to Jesus this evening. You have been rebellious, you have been disobedient, but the word came to your heart tonight. You need to surrender and say, Lord, have your way. You see, he's not just quoting scriptures. I'm the seed of Abraham. I'm the seed of Abraham. You now know why you say it and nothing happens. God is not a scammer. They are patterns. They are patterns. Surrender to Jesus tonight and tell him, I will do your will. Your will only. I receive grace. I receive grace. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name. You know, for over 3 weeks now, the Holy Ghost kept troubling me to do a teaching on first fruit. I refused. I don't like talking about sacrifice, giving, because these things are bastardized. And so when you start talking about obedience, giving, it looks as if you are trying to manipulate people. And so I said I will teach it maybe in the middle of the year. In fact, last week it was so strong when I rounded up. I said, make sure you go and give your first fruit. There are things you do that changes your story forever. They change your story forever. Somebody will have to give his Isaac this season. This season. I told you all the teachings we've been doing this year is to prepare you and to give you an advantage. Today God came to summarize the whole syllabus. How to live an invincible life. To summarize the whole syllabus in one teaching. And the zenith of it all is when you are tested. Before this week is over, hear this. Go sit down, search your heart. I've never asked you to come and give a sacrificial seed. and God has been doing so much. But God wants to shift somebody. Search your heart. Find out that thing that is most precious to you and look for a way to bring it to the altar. When the Spirit of God begins to instruct like this, He wants to change the stories of men. Take your time, sit down and search. Find out what is that thing that is most precious to you. It's time to part away with it. It came to my heart strong as an instruction. If you belong to this house, that's a prophetic word. From now till next week Sunday, if you can bring it during the prayer meeting on Monday, that's fine. If you can bring it on Tuesday, that's fine. And if you can bring it on Sunday, that's fine. We are going to designate functionaries to receive those seeds from you. I have a confirmation now. I fought it for many weeks, but now the Lord has given a go ahead. If you are not convinced, don't do it. Settle down and find out what your Isaac is. This week, that window is still open. I thought January is over, so everything is over. We'll wait, but this is the time. Get that thing that is your Isaac and part way with it. He said, God's your obedience is what activates God's provision. Somebody's life is about to change forever. And some of you, what you call Isaac is really nothing. But that is your own Isaac. This week, those of you connecting online from all around the world, they will provide you account details. Get your Isaac across. It's a prophetic season. And this is what God is saying. I won't say this except as it has been my burden for many weeks. While he was talking, I sat there and I repented. I said, so if he didn't bring this word, this is how I would have truncated somebody's transition. Sometimes it's pride. When God is talking to you, say, no, you can't say it. You don't want people to think you are, who are you? Don't let this week pass. Look for what your Isaac is. Those who can give financially, do that. Those who have material things that they need to give, place it on the altar and see what God will do. What do you say to the servant of God? Come on, shout, clap, celebrate. It's always good to obey God. I told myself, I'm not inviting any big man of God to this place until we do our anniversary. We were supposed to do it in January, but because we wanted to finish the building project, I said, okay, when we are done with that, as we are moving to inaugurate the building, we'll now do the anniversary. Then I will start inviting people. But while I was in the office, I just felt led. And you don't invite the senior minister like that. And I spoke to him and see what the Lord has done. You need to hear this message again. The audio will be on the Telegram handle this night. Download it. And I assure you, you didn't hear more than 25%. You thought you heard something. When you sit over it again, I told you I heard him preach on the Abrahamization principle. I'm hearing it now and I kept writing, I can't stop. Because it's fresh. Is new, and so many things that were not said before, and some that were said that I didn't hear. Get the message again, listen to it, and extract the instructions for your destiny. We are in treacherous times. The devil is upgrading his arsenals. We must become invincible. If there's any time where the believer must operate as the wind, this is that time. And the instructions God is bringing our way this season is for this reason, to give us that strategic advantage in the spirit. Lift your hands toward heaven.
If you you were blessed by this message you just listened to and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.ejfi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.